Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Back at it again with another episode of Big Time Baseball. I guess we'll call this the Hall of Fame edition. And alongside myself is my partner, John Heyman. John, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing? Very exciting day. We're looking forward to the results on Tuesday. We're doing Monday.
Big announcement tomorrow. Well, at least I'm sure there are a lot of Hall of Fame hopefuls that hope there's big news tomorrow. Don't know who's going in other than Fred McGriff at this point. But this is an interesting ballot, right? I'll just list the guys that have actually received a percentage of votes. There's a ton of guys on this, but Rolland, Helton, Wagner, Andrew Jones, Gary Sheffield, Alex Rodriguez, Jeff Kent, Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizcaíno, Andy Pettitte, Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Abreu, Mark Burley, and Torii Hunter. You do have some newcomers on the list. Carlos Beltran is on that list. John, first, let's start with this. How many guys, or does anybody, get on this ballot aside from Fred McGriff, do you think, this year?
Well, it looks like we have numbers through, I don't know, it's half the votes counted or what. Ryan Thibodeau does a good job tabulating, and it looks like Rolland and Helton have a chance. They're right now polling above the 75% threshold, but of course the public ballots are usually more favorable, so they're going to be right on the borderline. So one or two of those could get in, or nobody, which is possible. And it's a ballot, I think, with a lot of possibles, no definites. The two guys who are really clearly Hall of Famers on their achievements, their accomplishments, are Alex Rodriguez and Manny Ramirez, both linked to steroids. And they have a number of other guys, like 14, 15 other guys who are, right on that borderline. Not that that's a negative, because if you're in the top 1 or 2%, you're an incredible baseball player. But the other guys, you can make a case for about 14, 15 guys, or you can make a case against. So no guarantees. No Ken Griffey on this ballot, no Cal Ripken, no Tony Gwynn Sr.
No, there isn't. I think Gary Sheffield's a guy that has some unbelievable numbers that should be getting some votes. Will he? I don't know. But let's focus on those two that you were talking about that have a chance: Scott Rolland and Todd Helton. Now, I actually heard this the other day. I think Harold Reynolds. I was listening to on the MLB Network. And he mentioned the fact that he had a conversation with my dad about Todd Helton definitely being a Hall of Famer. Now, I don't recall the same conversation with him, but I would say that he certainly is deserving. And I think possibly Larry Walker getting in and going in as a Rookie, or a guy who put up a ton of numbers in as a Rookie at the very least, I think opens the door for Todd Hill. I think he should have a legitimate chance, and I think he's deserving, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I was very close with him, to him, voting for him, and I ultimately did not. I voted for four guys. I voted for Kent, Roland, Andrew Jones, and Jimmy Rollins. You know, I look at the total picture, offense and defense, so I probably favor guys who are great defensively more than some others. So to me, Andrew Jones and Roland and Rollins fit in that category. Rollins, I can see he's not going to make it, but – you know, I'd like to see him continue on the ballot. I think he had great impact. I go by impact more than stats. I never have quite gotten there for the Coors Field guys. I do get it. Incredible percentages. You know, if you look at his on base, his slugging, his batting average, clearly a Hall of Famer. To me, I still look at Coors and, you know, if you don't have huge numbers overall, I still – haven't quite gotten there, but I do think he will get in. If he doesn't get in this year, he will get in next year. So I think the majority of people do agree with you on Helton. So many guys just so close. Helton, Wagner was close for me.
Yeah.
You know, Pettit. You know, you can make a case for K-Rod, Vizquel, Beltran. To me, Beltran has it on the numbers. I held him out for 1 year. I've never done this before, but for the Houston issue. So I think next year I will probably end up voting for him. Someone could say that's not fair, but
so you gave him a 1 year penalty.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I did give him, I figured he wouldn't make it the first year, and I did. I'm more about the integrity of the game than something off the field. You know, I don't, okay. If someone does something bad off the field, you know, unless it's really heinous, and nobody's really risen to that category for me. I mean, you know, we don't have O.J. Simpson on the ballot or something like that. You know, to me, it's about the game and the integrity of the game. And, you know, the steroid guys generally I've not voted for. And that's, again, why I don't vote for Sheffield. To me, he does have the numbers. He's in that category of guys who have the numbers. But to me, linked to steroids, you know, I didn't vote for Ortiz. What did he get, 81% of the vote? I didn't vote for him. You know, I think Sheffield, Sosa, and Ortiz are all in the same category. Yet, weirdly, Ortiz got 81%. Sosa gets almost nothing. And Sheffield will be in between. And to me, It seems to be about public relations, which I can see voting for any of them, really. I get it if someone wants to discount and not worry about the steroids. I get it. So I understand that. But I don't understand the dichotomy there, why Ortiz is worth 81% and Sosa almost nothing and Sheffield in between. To me, they're all in the same category. To me, they're all Hall of Famers based on what they did. And, you know, if you want to vote for a steroid guy, go right ahead. I get it. And it's just, you know, it's a smaller link than, let's say, Ramirez or A-Rod, right?
It's
a smaller link, but he was in the Mitchell report. He was in Balco. To me, that's enough to not vote for him. But he is trending. It's the funny thing is the way guys are trending. Like Vizquel started with 50%. He's worked his way down to 10%. Then you have a lot of guys like Wagner who started with 10%, and they're working their way up to 50%. I have changed my mind on guys, but not to that degree where it's half the electorate. Is changing on guys. I do think is probably, even though Ryan Thibodeau does a great job, is too much out there publicly and too many people are influenced by what others are saying on the internet. They should just go by their own feel, and then we'd have 400 people voting and it would be a fair election. Here you've got guys who don't want to be ripped on the internet voting for guys, and it's got to be that, because to go from, we've had several guys go from 10 or 15% all the way up to 80%. Don't get it.
I'm willing to give some of that to people who maybe are just seeing things differently now than they may have in the past, but not all of it. I mean, those are huge. Those are huge gains and losses,
right?
That are really unexplainable.
Right. It may be justified though, because look at Bert Blyleven. I never was convinced, because I really don't care what anyone says on the internet. So I've noticed.
I don't
care. Yeah. So I wasn't swayed. I never voted for him. I think he was on 14 times. And now I look at it and I can understand why people voted for him for the Hall of Fame. It might have taken me 20 years. And so I get why people change. But in that case, there was a big internet outcry. And this has been the case, I think, with Wagner and some of the other guys. And a good case can be made for Wagner. He's one of the greatest closers. There's no question about that. But to me, let me ask you a question. You're a team. You've got the first year. You've got a rookie, Billy Wagner, and you've got a rookie, Jimmy Rollins. You have to trade one of them, and you get the same thing back for either one of them. Who would you like to hold on to?
Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah. To me, the answer is clearly Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah,
he had the greater impact. He was a winner. He got
and
accolades.
That could be based clearly off of the positions they play. I mean, granted, a closer is going to come in. He's gonna have an impact. In Billy Wagner's case, somewhere 45 and 60 games, right? But Jimmy Rollins can have that impact on a nightly basis and has more games to actually be able to do it. So from that standpoint alone, I would say the same thing. But then when you put together what they actually did in their careers, I think that's pretty evident.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Rollins had a greater impact. I'm not knocking Billy Wagner. I could certainly see people voting for him. And
absolutely.
I get why people are up to 50%, but there's a reason why these closers, even the best ones, have a WAR of 25 or 30, whereas to me, Rollins was underrated in terms of his defense.
At least. Yes.
So I don't think the defensive metrics do him justice, but, you know, he's got a WAR of around 48, you know, so he certainly contributed more based on that number, which is the one overall number. So, you know, and I don't want to pick on Wagner versus Rollins, but I would say the same thing for any reliever versus, let's say, a Burley or a Pettit. And I haven't voted for Burley or Pettit, but you have the first year of Andy Pettit or Billy Wagner, and you get to keep them for their whole career. Who would you hang on to? Andy Pettit was incredible impact. And of course, being on the Yankees did help, but won a lot of games, pitched a lot of innings. So, you know, I'm not quite there on the relievers. I eventually did vote for Hoffman. I did see it. You know, he had bigger bulk numbers. It's similar type stats on percentages, but bigger bulk numbers than Wagner. And I don't like to make a case against anyone. And I get it, because Wagner had that great strikeout percentage and he was incredible when he was on the mound. But, you know, everybody looks at it differently. But I wish people weren't so influenced by what they read on the internet.
Yeah, I remember when Billy Wagner retired, and I remember thinking to myself, this guy's a Hall of Famer. And so I'm going to stick with that. And, you know, it's different. I don't get a vote ultimately, so it doesn't really matter what I think. But
it does. It matters to me.
When you're talking about Hall of Famers, it could get complicated when you are then trying to compare them to other guys at different positions. That's when it becomes complicated. Now, I understand there's an element of that you have to do, because you're giving, you know, your votes on that. But, you know, in his case, I personally think he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, a lot of people look at it like, who is the best at their position? But to me, it's a diminished position if you're throwing one inning versus, in those days, six or seven innings. You know, or Mark Burley, he was just consistent. He wasn't spectacular. He didn't throw that hard, but he was amazingly consistent and ultimately, in the way I look at it, more productive than all the closers. Obviously, Mariano Rivera is a separate case. The impact that he had, he's the greatest closer of all time, but I still have a hard time, and I'm not alone, but I do think I'm probably in the minority in saying tough to get there for me for the relief pitcher. And there's a reason someone's a relief pitcher instead of a starter. Starters have a greater repertoire and, you know, more durability. And but I still didn't vote for Burley or Pettit. So you know, it's one of those ballots where there's no obvious clear-cut guy. And well, how would you go on A-Rod and Manny? Because, you know, what they did on the field, I mean, they're clearly Hall of Famers. But, you know, where do you draw the line?
I mean, listen, both of those guys, had ability that before they got caught up in the steroid issue, they were going to be Hall of Famers. Now, unfortunately for them, listen, no matter how I feel about this particular situation, there are consequences to actions that these guys have taken. And unfortunately, those consequences may be that they don't get in the Hall of Fame because of it. But there's no doubt A-Rod and Manny specifically, who I got to share a field with, these dudes were incredible baseball players. And had they not done anything, and in A-Rod's case, I think he's admitted to this, that his actions after getting caught are probably the most egregious part of it all. And it's probably what ends up costing him getting into the Hall of Fame. I just think, you know, those are the consequences. I think they're Hall of Famers, though.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly these guys ended up, by doing the steroids, I think almost all of them ended up making more money, winning more awards in some cases. They already got a lot of positives out of it. So there are consequences, as you said. I mean, clearly both guys had the talent to be Hall of Famers without the steroids. I agree with you. I would say A-Rod's case, he wasn't a Hall of Famer before he took steroids, because it was in Texas.
That's true.
Where
that's
he got
true.
Caught
that's true.
In the loosey-goosey. You remember that quote? It was the loosey-goosey times.
I forgot about that.
He didn't have 10 years in at that point. So he didn't do it before. That's why I make that one exception, Barry Bonds, because to me, he was a Hall of Famer.
He was already Hall of Famer.
He was
right.
Already in. I mean, he was already the best player in the game. And then he became Babe Ruth when he started doing the steroids. And so I didn't vote for him initially, because I really think it's a real no-no to do steroids. And I eventually did vote for him, because I ultimately consider every case. And what you said is absolutely right. Before, he was a home run before he started considering it. And it was certainly in an earlier era, and he's never been caught. Now, A-Rod, it was
he's smack dab before. In the middle of it.
Yeah, he was in the middle of it. He got suspended. He got suspended again. He only has himself to blame. And I like the guy. He was on another podcast that I do. He was great with us. And that one thing that Jimmy Rollins was on our podcast in the New York Post last week, and he was fabulous. And, of course, I did vote for him. But one thing he thought, and I think a lot of the guys who are on the ballot think this, that the voters are influenced by whether they like the guy, whether they gave him a good interview. And I think there probably are a couple like that. But
there's no doubt.
I know the players think that, but I can tell you from my perspective, and nothing against Jeff Kent, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't get along with him at all, I vote for him. Of all the guys on the ballot, the one guy I was really friendly with was Andy Pettit. I don't vote for him. So I'm not influenced by it. Somebody might be.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what the number is or how many, but I would say that my guess would be you're not the majority. John.
Well, let me say this. Jim Rice, who was not good with the media, although he's in the media. I'm sure you were great with the media, although I don't recall dealing with you as a player. But how many guys are in the media who are so terrible with the media? Jim Rice is a guy like that, and he got in, right?
How long, though, did it take for him to get in?
Well, but he's borderline. I think he's a borderline case because he was a one-dimensional player, right? If you compare him to Albert Bell, now someone's going to say Albert Bell's not in because people didn't like him, and there might be some – a fact I don't vote for him because he didn't have a long enough career. But Steve Carlton, I mean, this is before my time even for the most part, notoriously terrible with the media. He got almost every single vote. you know, there are other
guys like that. I'll give you my perspective on it, having heard folks like my dad and his peers talk about this before. I think there's maybe have been a shift in the media and how long we hold on to things. It seems like there's been a little bit of shift, but I know at that time there were certainly a lot of people that felt like it, and it's apparently it still is the case today that feel like there are certain media members that do hold that as part of it. Maybe not all, maybe the number's not big, but the numbers don't have to be big when we're talking about a Hall of Fame vote. You know what I'm saying? It can only take a few that can skew that.
Well, I attribute some of that to just bad voting. But, you know, if you look at it, you know, I mean, you know, there are guys now who only miss out by one vote or three votes or whatever. Presumably they had run-ins with somebody and you know, nobody's holding against them except that I guess one person didn't vote for Jeter. I don't know. There was three people I think didn't vote for Griffey. I think those are just bad voters. I don't think it was anything personal. Like
just,
I said,
just bad voters.
No, it's only a couple. It's only a few. You know, we're talking about less than 1%. But Rice, as I said, got in, and I think he got a fair number of votes. I don't think it was held against him. I think he was a great slugger. Didn't have a huge home run total, but he was a great slugger, and he should be in, and he got in. And you know, like I said, Carlton not good with the media and got almost every single vote. So I don't think that's the case. You know, maybe in an extreme example like Albert Bell, it might affect him a little bit, you know, where he was really terrible with everybody.
I agree with you. I agree with you on Jimmy as well. I mean, I'm a little biased, and I'm pretty close to him, but his impact was on that level as well.
Yeah, I think he's being unfairly overlooked. I don't get it. I mean, to me, it's called the Hall of Fame. It's about impact. It's about fame. It shouldn't be about all stats. And I mean, he's got more hits than anybody else in Philly's history. So that's a pretty good stat. You know, to me, he was a winner, and that should be in there. You know, not to pick on anybody, but Abreu has better stats, and he's now trending better than Rollins.
Abreu's another one. I mean,
he's a Hall of Famer. I don't get. He's certainly in the top 2%. We're talking about all borderline guys. I don't see it, you know, based on WAR or percentages or I don't think anybody thought he was a Hall of Famer when he was playing. You know, his impact was good, but it's not like Jimmy Rollins. It's not like Andrew Jones. It's not like Carlos Beltran. You know, it's not like even Billy Wagner, any of these guys. I don't get it. And I feel bad talking against somebody, but I think that's, again, one of those internet things where someone's looking at the stats and they've come up with some great stat that shows why they're a Hall of Famer. And oh, yeah, that's great. That's a great stat. It's not a Hall of Stats.
No, it's not. It's I mean, it's hard to define it, right? But it certainly is a 10-year span or that particular decade. Were you the guy? Were you amongst the best during that 10-year span? That's at least what my opinion is on what it should be. So
I think that's fair.
You know, we'll have to.
I like it. That's a good way to define it.
Yeah, no, eventually we'll get the answers on this. Actually, tomorrow we'll get the answers on this.
We will. And I think by and large, the voters have done pretty well. I like the fact they have the Veterans Committee that cleans it up. I did think Trammell and Morris ultimately, while borderline, I did ultimately vote for them at the end. And I'm glad that the Veterans Committee put them in. They've overshot on one or two cases, in my opinion, but not terribly. You know, I mean, there was so much brouhaha about Harold Baines getting it. Harold Baines was a great player. You know, I think that's another internet thing where there people are saying, how could this guy be a Hall of Famer? I mean, what do you have, 2,700 hits? It's pretty good. You know, he's a pretty good player. Pretty good. So it didn't offend me. I think the Veterans Committee generally does a good job. Sometimes it gets a little too – when you have 15 people, to me, that gets a little too personal. You know, you get a guy stumping for somebody and convincing a few others in the room, and he can get in. That, to me – more about personality than the full electorate.
I can already hear it. Both of us saying pretty good. Well, it's not the pretty good of fame. So it's 2,700 hits is excellent. It's beyond pretty
excellent.
Good.
It's beyond pretty not, good. And I get it. I didn't vote for Harold Baines, but I mean, to have the outcry that people had, it was beyond what it should have been. I mean, he had a great career.
Well, the debate will come to an end. Well, at least this year, it will come to an end tomorrow. We'll find out who's getting in, who's not getting in. So that'll do it for this Big Time Baseball episode. You can catch us anywhere you can find your podcast. You can also catch us on the Odyssey app. Until next week, for Tony Gwynn Jr., for John Heyman, have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.